Chaver, welcome. Conference call number 156. Zeicha Nishmas Rabbi Binyamin Hamerzit. Zeicha Tzadik Livracha. Ready.
Thank you very much. Before we begin, we have some follow-ups from last time. The intention of the last question of the last conference call was, is it better to pour hot water from the urn into a first mug and then pour that onto grape juice, which is already in the second mug, rather just directly from the urn onto grape juice in the first mug, from both Bishul and Sovea perspectives? From Sovea perspectives, they're identical. And from the Bishul perspective, of course, the second one is better because it says one step further removed. Now, I'm not going into all the details. Our grape juice is already mevushel. And even though we'd be passing the Yesh Bishulach or Bishul Balach, we're only machmer in Kli Rishon. But since Iwi is like a Kli Rishon, it's much better to do the original option of taking it and pouring it into a first mug and then pour out the grape juice. It's called an Iwi Kli Sheni, which is much better than Iwi Kli Rishon. Two, you wash hands in the morning in the bathroom. What should we say the bracha? When should the bracha? Out of the bathroom with wet hands, dry his hands first, wait until he puts on his clothes on, and may one put on his clothes before washing his hands in the bathroom. I repeat what we said last time. It's like this. What you should do is go to the bathroom first, because in the morning, if you really have to go, it's just a shalvat shak, so you really, really, it could be a daraisa. But even if you don't have to go that badly, most of get up in the morning have to use to urinate. So you should do that first. And then you put your hands under the sink when the water's going three or some may say four times. And the mila of that is that you get rid of the ruach ra, for those who are still worried about it, even though the smog wasn't anymore. We try to fulfill that ruach ra issue. But it's not a kli. So therefore, there's no problem. You certainly would not yotze the mitzvah of netilas namatzil according to the Rashba. Then you get dressed. Then you wash your hands one time from a kli, and you make a bracha on netilas yadayim. According to the Rashba, that's the first netila, which is wonderful. According to the Rashba, only that counts as the last netila before you daven, because the Rashba is accustomed to tefillah. So therefore, you should try to keep your hands clean if possible. The time you wash your hands after you finish getting dressed until you actually daven shachris. If not, they have to get dirty, so you wash again, but with a kli, but without a bracha. Now, what about clothes? If you look on the Gemara and bracha, samach, and beis, they always put on their clothes before they wash their hands. That's what they did. Now, it's better, as I told you, to wash your hands three times under the sink before you put the clothes on, because of those various ruach ra considerations, and that's the proper way to do things. Now, as far as it's question three, different card games, one more time. Is there a question of Bora? I think the answer is no, for the same reason we spoke about last time. But I don't think there's a psolus mitoch ochel. I think it's ochel mitoch psolus. The yad, the altar, that's my understanding. I think that's exactly why it's permissible completely without going into further details. Now we begin this week's questions. A number of communities now have a minyan factors, which is amazing. Potential challenges.
My father.
I have to wait till I finish my call. Okay. I have to wait somewhere. Sure. In the middle of a call. Potential challenges and what should the person do? A, walks in from Mincha Gedolah early and Shachris saying Chazaras Hashatz. Does one answer? Yes. But by any kash being said until the end of that minyan? Yes. The reason being, there's some remote shita that allows us to be done, even though it's after Chatzos. B, come from our 40 minutes after Shkia in the St. Kedushas, Chazaras Hashatz of Mincha, is one answer. Again, yes, some hold like Rabbeinu Tam, so it's still Vadayom, and some hold, it's three quarters of a mil before you actually see stars, and some postpone seeing stars till 50 minutes for Moshe, which means until 35 minutes, it's still a time to daven mincha in theory. So they probably started before that time. There is a sheet. See, question two. One walk into a simcha on Shabbos, they daven before 9:30 minyan, when they're missing zman tefillah. The answer kedusha harashas again, yes, because until chatzos, you're allowed to daven. Three, Shabbos Chanukah this year is also Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, necessitating three Sifrei Torah. What's the proper procedure for a shul that's only two Sifrei Torah? Do you do Hagbah, just roll as needed? Roll as needed. You roll from Rosh Chodesh, which is Parshas Pinchas, to Chanukah Parshas Nosos. It's not so far. That's what should be done. Four, can Ashkenazim eat sirloin steak or other cuts of meat which are commonly avoided in many places, which is trabered with a reliable Sfardi Ashkacha? For an Ashkenazi, no. If it is fine, but a person who wants to eat it, Taras Adaram, it's not fine. Question five. Hello, changing one's minhagim. Related. I have recently been approached with a few different questions about this, and I'm not sure whether it's the proper halachic approach. A young man approached me whether he can put aside his Lithuanian modern Orthodox practices of his very firm parents and become part of Chabad, where he finds deep spiritual meaning. The rule is that a father's customs are not binding on a son. Minhag HaMakom is binding in that place, but not a father. It's not binding on the son. However, it is certainly preferable to keep one's father's minhagim, especially when one is still in his father's home. The word young man implies that perhaps he's still a single young man in his father's home. So therefore, it should certainly be preferable to keep his father's customs at the present time, and even more certainly if he's in his father's actual presence. That's appropriate. Remember, if this young man is already married or is getting married, then it's permissible to adopt new customs. Certainly, it's probably better to not practice different customs than one's father in his presence, if that's possible. B, an elderly couple in our community wants to move with their daughter and their grandchildren in Deal, who married a Syrian Jew. They're all Eidot HaMizrach now, including their daughter. The elderly couple want to know if they can become Eidot Mizrach also, since it is so much more convenient living in one's house and having one's standard. The answer is yes. And the reason is, as a Sugi Mesech Tepsokin, Mokum Shinago, if one from place A moves to place B with the intention to stay in place B forever, not to return to place A, he becomes a man of place B. That's why, in this particular case, it's permissible to adopt these customs. It's not the same as the question before about sirloin steak. The other person didn't change places. He's just part of the Ashkenaz community, and therefore you have to maintain the custom. Here, the person is in a certain sense becoming a Sephardi. They're moving into Deal, New Jersey, which is a Sephardi town, and planning to live there forever. That's the din. See, a man in my community is making Aliyah to become a long line of Yekis who put on film Chol HaMoed. She stopped once he moved to Israel. She continued to private with a bracha, as is his custom. The answer is no. Again, he moved to a different place. The millionaire is Israel just about exclusively that no one wears tefillin. Why is that so? What's the kind of coalition? The Sephardim were there first, don't wear tefillin. The Hasidim who came next, don't wear tefillin. Talmidei HaGro'ah came next, also don't wear tefillin. So whenever the plain Ashkenazim came, they were just overwhelmed, and they stopped wearing tefillin as well. That's the Minhag Eretz Yisrael. D. Woman in my community is marrying a Sephardi, and she wants to continue to daven Ashkenaz and make brachos on Mrs. Hasesha's Mangarama. As it's important to her, husband does not care, may she? She may continue to daven from Ashkenaz from her Sfitter. That's a private matter. Private matter. So too, with respect to the brachos that are typically made, the two brachos that are typically made by a woman, Zman Garama, that she makes herself, typically, again, I'm talking about typically, is Lulav and Sukkah, both on Sukkahs. The other Zman Garamas, she doesn't do tzitzis or tefillin, and usually matzah and shofar, you hear a bracha from somebody else. There may be other exceptions, but not for now. But the main ones are on Sukkah, Lulav, and Sukkah. It seems to me, though, since she is now marrying a Sephardi, she wants to make her own private bracha on Lulav and on Sukkah, she should do it in a fashion that no one knows the difference. Whisper it so that no one knows. E, broad guidance on when and how a person wholesale switch the community they are members of. As I told you, you move to a different place, which is far from the original place. Or, even if it's not so far, if you move not just geographically, but you move communally. A person joins a yeshiva, and the yeshiva has certain minhagim. You become a ben yeshiva. You plan to be in the yeshiva for the rest of your life, either in the yeshiva proper or with the alumni of the yeshiva. And the same thing, you move to a different kehillah. You move to a kehillah where they have certain sets of minhagim. If you plan to not be in that kehillah forever, once again, it may be done. If you join a Yemeni community, you find a meaningful income, Taimani, again, in the old days, I tell you, move to Yemen. Not safe to move to Yemen anymore. They want to kill us all there. But if you move to a Yemeni community to stay for good, it may be done. Six, in many shuls, the minhag seems to be during Kedusha on Shabbos and Yom Tov to have the kehillah recite the words leading up to Kaddish Baruch Hu, quote, V'divrei Kodesh, and then the chazan repeats them and sings them. Often the chazan sings them and the kehillah joins with them singing words that they have already said, not to mention in the past often repeating words. Seems to happen during Hallel as well. How should the ordinary words be recited or sung by the kehillah? Very simple. They should sing the tune without any words. They said the words already. Seven, on Shabbos, they want to physically move a lamp closer to so they'd be able to reading with more light. In the old days, when they had incandescent bulbs, it was a very serious child. Not so simple. Today, they're almost all LED or something similar. As mutter, there's no fire, and therefore one may move them. Eight, I have a contract with an oil company for heating my home. They can remotely measure how low the oil is and arrange for delivery when it reaches a certain level. They come and fill up the oil from the outside of my house. Must I tell them not to deliver on Shabbos? If they don't listen and I happen to hear that they have come on a Shabbos, must I go outside and prevent the delivery? The answer is, you should tell them not to deliver. Yes. To go out there and fight with an oil company is dangerous. The answer is no. You told them not to come. They came anyway. They're coming against your will. Nine, how should one present to modern balabatim certain gzeiros derabbanan that seem outlandish to them? For example, the gzeira of swimming on Shabbos on your Yom Tov, since you may come to make a raft. Or that all animals, even small pets, are muksa based on the fact that riding on a horse is prohibited, since you may come to break a branch. That is not quite accurate, but we'll talk about the principle involved. This is how you explain to them. There's a concept called the Dover Shebeminyan. That means it was enacted by the Chachamim with a certain number in the Sanhedrin. And the Gemara tells us, Batul Atam, Lo Batul Akzeira. If the reason no longer applies, the Akzeira still applies. Rav Shechta Shlita in Eretz HaTzvi, page Kuflam and Hay and Vav, explains so beautifully, as Ke'ein Doraisa Tikun, we pass Lo Darshina and Tama Dekro. So if it says to you not to take a beggar almona, and Rabbi Shimon says that's only because you're fearful to go in and out of the house because she's a poor woman, but if she's a rich woman and there's no problem, then it's okay. It's not okay. Lo dashinin tama dekra. However, Gemara says in Sanhedrin, if the reason is given explicitly, then darshinin, we do dashin because the reason is given explicitly. So too, Rabbi Shechta Shlita explained, most dinner de rabbanan are gzeiros with no tam built in. There is a tam for it. It's tam every mitzvah. Kein d'oraisa, but the tam is not relevant in terms of how we practice halacha. However, there are times when the tam is built in to the halacha, kein d'oraisa, when the tam is explicit. The example which is given is something where there's an exception to the rule. There's an exception to the rule, that means that the reason it's built into the Gzera de Rabbanan. In that kind of a case, we would not be required to maintain the law of the halacha, even though it was originally a Gzera. One example might be Maya Megulim, when they prohibited water because they were afraid of the venom of a snake. And the Poskim say this no longer applies nowadays. And they prove It's not a davar shebemin, because in certain cases it's permissible, even in the time of the Gemara. Number 10. A younger driver was driving and was distracted and smashed into a parked car, which was just recently bought 2 weeks before. Insurance totaled the parked car. I assume it covers the price, but does not pay the full value. Now, the owner of the parked car has to pay more to get a new car. Does he have a claim in Bezin for the remaining amount, or is the insurance payment all he's entitled to? He certainly has a claim. For sure. What the Bezin is going to say, I do not know. The Bezin might say, of course you have to pay. You are Mazik. Other Mazik is Chayev. They may say, I'm not prejudicing the case, they may say that a person who drives on the road, parks cars on the road, knows that there are situations of collision and knows that the people who pay are almost always the insurance company. And therefore, there may be some kind of an implicit understanding to be satisfied with what the insurance company pays, but that's only for a Bezin to decide. The default is he has to pay. 11. An older lady uses her tea bags numerous times before throwing them out. On Shabbos, may she use her already unused tea bag, A, by placing it into the mug and pouring hot water on it from an urn, B, by pouring hot water from an urn into a mug and placing the used tea bag into a water, presumably a cliché. It's a very serious question. It's not completely clear to me if by using a tea bag once, you have achieved what we call in our language, Mavushal, called Soroko. It's fully cooked. If you have achieved that, we have a rule of Ein Bishul, Acha Bishul. But I'm really not sure. So therefore, I would never allow A. Because there, it's what's called Iri Kli Rishon. That's for sure, a Shalav Adoraisa. On the other hand, B, which is Klisheni, Meikah Adami Paskin Klisheni, Ein Mavashal, I'm not sure that we would rely on that alone in this case, but in combination with the presumption that Ein Bishul, Acha Bishul, there's room to be lenient. 12. I was driving somewhere and made a tefillas aderech, but left out the sachti rain and the shalom. What should he do in the return trip that night? Nothing. It's included in the trip, even if he doesn't say those words. 13. They want to intentionally leave over a little piece from the sector that he learned in order to make a siyum months later? The answer to that question is yes. The people collectively made a siyum. May someone say a special kaddish as a considered a siddur mitzvah? The answer is, again, simple. You can make a kaddish. A kaddish is no big deal. It's a nice siddur mitzvah. But not to the extent that it will set aside a customary fast day, whether it be the Erev Pesach or a customary prohibition such as meat in the 9 days. For that, it would not work. 14. It's considered Ribbis Dvarim to say thank you to someone when returning money that was loaned to you. Is there a lachic difference if it's being the actual lender or just the Gabbet Stuck who was in charge of the Gemach funds? No real difference. Most poskim assume that thank you is okay, and they explain you're thanking for the tircha, not for the money, but for the bother they went through. Some say it's better to say that explicitly. Others say you don't have to say it. It's obvious that what you mean. And still others have a strict position, but that the minhag is to be lenient. 15. Even though the Mishnah Berurah says otherwise, a left-handed balabas insists he was taught to wash his left hand first for the Netilas Yadayim in the morning. Is there a source for this? What is the halacha by washing for a motzi for a lefty? Is halacha different for a Sephardi or Ashkenazi? The answer is none of this is ma'akev. Should really tell the person they should follow the Mishnah Berurah, but you can't force the issue because this is all only lechatchila, not ma'akev. 16. Someone in the shul came to the rabbi on Shabbos that the sewers in the shul are backing up and the bathrooms cannot be used. Is it okay to have their security guard call someone discreetly on Shabbos to repair the issue? The answer is yes. Why is the answer yes? Number one, it's what's called a shvus to shvus. You are telling a non-Jew to do something which is presumably a derabbanan, and that's permissible b'makom mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to have a working bathroom in a shul. And even in worst-case scenario, you might say that the prepare is a d'oraisa, and there was only one derabbanan, but even one derabbanan is permissible for a consideration called kavod habrios. Kavod HaBrios should not be overextended. It means something which is almost universally considered not appropriate. I think that a bad bathroom smell is universally considered inappropriate, and therefore, aside from the shvus to shvus, because I think it's probably only the Rabbanim, even if it should be a Doraisa, there's still a heter of Kavod HaBrios. Thank you very much.
Okay, Rabbi, we okay in 2 weeks?
In Mirza Shabbat.
The 3rd?
Okay.